Father, now as we come to your word, help us see this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, like I said, as we come to Father's Day, we want to certainly honor our fathers. And I know probably a candy bar is not worthy of you guys.
But it helps.
But it helps, yes.
Yes, it helps.
Of course it helps. There you go. It helps. So we're here to honor fathers. Happy Father's Day. I would throw them out there, but I'd get in trouble. I would like to go home today. But besides honoring fathers, we want to glorify God. Because, like I said, fatherhood is His idea, and He is our Heavenly Father. He's the perfect Father. And we're going to look at marks of the perfect Father. So as we go through here, number one, men, as fathers, be thinking, this is the model for me. This is what God intended for me and my family. This is what I'm supposed to do for my kids, what God does for me. Now, we're not going to be perfect at it as He is, but this is the model. And then as we look at this, we glorify God. Because this is our Heavenly Father. It is just amazing. So, I'm going to have to use selected scriptures. So, we're going to be in our Old Testament and New Testament. So, you may just want to listen. This is on YouTube, and it'll be on the internet, this particular version. To see these marks of the perfect Father, which is our Heavenly Father in heaven, and to have kind of a something to lean on for us men to follow, we're going to look at the song we just sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness. This hymn was written by Thomas Chisholm, who was a Methodist minister, and he was a prolific poet. And he wrote this, it's actually a poem, Great is Thy Faithfulness, in 1923. It was then set to music, and kind of the rest is history. But what he did is he set out to write this is to just express what God had done for him. He was just thinking about his Heavenly Father and how and all the things that God had done for him, and he wrote it this way. So this is what we're going to use as kind of a stepping point to note some marks of the perfect Father. So what you would be fun to do is go home, get a copy of Great is Thy Faithfulness, and think through it yourself. And write down all the things that God has done for you with each one of these, and maybe you'll find other marks through here. I started out with 15, and be thankful we're not doing 15. So I cut it down, but you can go through here and find those, and then go to the Bible and find verses that say, okay, if I believe God is this, then where does it say that, and how does it say that? And you will find it's a great experience. So let's get started. The first mark is faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. And faithfulness means just what it says, faithfulness. In other words, you can be counted on. You are faithful to do what you said you're going to do. You are a faithful Father. You did not beget and forget, but you begot, and now you're developing, and you're faithful at that. You're not perfect at it, but God is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, just point blank tells us that God is faithful. Paul to Timothy said this, 2 Timothy 2:13. He said, if we are faithless, He is God, remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. One of the glories of the Old Testament is it gives us a history of how God works with people, and particularly the nation of Israel. I'm currently in the book of Deuteronomy on my trip through the Bible, and I don't know, it's not going to be a year, but I don't know how long it's going to be. But I'm, you know, as I started Deuteronomy this week, again, what a great book. I was reminded of God's faithfulness as a father to Israel, as in chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, Moses is reiterating their history. They are on the verge of going in the promised land the second time. And so he's relaying to them what happened the first time. The first time they got to Kadesh Barnea, and the spies went in, came back and says, it's a great land, but we can't do it because there's all these giants. And so remember, the people freaked out. In fact, in chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, as Moses is reiterating this, he says in verse 26, you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God to go up. And you grumbled in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he's brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brethren have made our hearts melt because they said it's great and whatever. The people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are larger and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of Anakim there, giants. So, I mean, and sometimes children freak out, right? I mean, sometimes they go through that stage. Now, what are you going to do as a father? Okay, the kid's freaking out. He doesn't need to freak out, but he is. And he may be rebelling against me. He may be grumbling against me because he says, we can't do this. Verse 29, then I said to you, do not be shocked nor fear them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Remember. He's saying, remember all that I have done for you already. And as you go in there, you can't do this. I know that. But I'm fighting for you. And I'll do it. You just put your feet in the water as it were. You just go make that step and I will be behind you. As I was in Egypt, doing all of that for you, verse 30, before your eyes. And in the wilderness, for these 40 years that you wandered around, waiting for that generation to die so you could go in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, ready? Just as a man carries his son. God cared for you as a father would care for his son. Even when you grumble, even when you rebel, he took care of you. He is faithful. Faithful. But through all of this, you didn't trust him. God was faithful. He made a promise to Abraham. You can read Genesis 13 and Genesis 6:17. He made a promise to Abraham that he would have a people and that they would be God's people. And so he was faithful. Even in their disobedience, he was faithful to them and provided for them. Great is thy faith. Psalm 78 is a great psalm. And again, this chronicles the life of Israel. And what's so great about this is our God. And how our God fathered the nation of Israel even when they were disobedient. Psalm 78, verse 21 says, therefore the Lord heard and was full of wrath, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger was mounted against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Okay, so they're rebelling and they're disobedient again. Verse 23 is very important, that first word. Yet, in spite of that, he, God, commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. And he rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. In other words, God took care of them because he is faithful. Now, I'm not a Jew, and I don't live in the Old Testament. So I'm not under that Mosaic covenant. In fact, it's over. But I do live in the New Covenant. And God said, John 1:12, you know, that as many as believe in him, that is Jesus, to them gave he right to become the sons of God. And as I enter into this covenant with God now in the New Testament, he said, I will never leave nor forsake you. He said, I will take care of you. He said in Philippians 1:6, what I've begun, I will finish in you. And he also said in Hebrews 12:10 that I will discipline you to share my holiness. And what we all count on, if you believe in me, you will never perish, but have everlasting life. That's a promise. And I count on that. I count on God's help. I count on God's grace. We have some great needs in our congregation. I count on that, and I count on him being faithful to do it. It's kind of a lamppost that you come across. Second characteristic or second mark is consistency. Consistency. Notice the first verse of the hymn says, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow or turning with thee. Thou changes not. Consistent. As Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's consistent. You can count on God. God doesn't change his behavior. God doesn't change how he feels or what he's going to do from Old Testament to New Testament. God doesn't look at the news and then change things up. No, he's in charge of the news. Being sovereign, nothing happens without God. He's consistent. You can count on him being faithful because he's consistent in his faithfulness. Fathers, we are told by God, you know, in the course we know the key verse, right? For Father's Day is Hebrews chapter 13. Are you awake? There is no 13 chapters in Hebrews. Well, there is in Hebrews, but I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 6. Whoa! Yeah, I should be awake. Ephesians 6, 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not provoke your children to anger. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, fathers, do not exasperate. And that word just means exactly what you think. Don't exasperate your children so that they will lose heart. What's one of the things that will exasperate our kids and provoke them to anger is our inconsistency. I don't know what dad's going to do. I don't know what dad believes. He changes all the time. I can't go. I can't depend on him because I don't know. Dad is not consistent. Men, it's just work on being consistent. Be the same. Be faithful to your kids. As God is consistent to us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you think about that. You depend upon that. In fact, we depend upon his consistency so much that we go to the past, and that gives us help for the future. I'm thinking of Psalm 143, one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 143, you may be here. In fact, your father, if he wasn't a good father, may have put you here. Remember, David says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness. He's crying out to God, I'm in desperate need. God, I need help. Lord, help. I can't go to my earthly father. Let's just use that scenario for now. Because I don't know how he's feeling. I don't know what he believes. I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, he is being very inconsistent. So I'm crying to you. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous. Here it comes, verse 3. The enemy has persecuted my soul. Tragically, for a lot of people, that's their father. It's tragic. The enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. I am exasperated. I have lost heart because of my life situation. So what does a psalmist do? Verse 5. I remember the days of old, and I meditate on all your doings, and I muse on the work of your hands. I remember all the good things you've done, Lord. I remember how you are my good shepherd. And I remember how you led me beside quiet waters, and you made me lie down in green pastures, and how you've restored my soul, and you have led me in the paths of righteousness for your sake. How, when I've been scared to death, I had a comfort because I knew you were with me, and it was your rod and your staff that comforted me. And I am so blessed. You prepared that table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. And I've lived with this assurance that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I have the hope that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I think about that. And as I think about that and the fact that you are consistent, there is no shadow or turning with you. And you're faithful. Therefore, I'm depending on that. I'm depending on just the way you were in the past for now. Verse 6, I stretch out my hands to you, and my soul longs for a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. I've heard it before, and you are faithful. There is no shadow of turning with you. Let me hear it in the morning, for I trust in you. That's the kind of father God is. And that's the kind of father, men, we need to be. So the perfect father is marked by faithfulness. The perfect father is marked by consistency. The perfect father is marked by compassion. Compassion. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. Compassion, sometimes described as mercy, is looking at a situation and understanding who you're looking at in dealing according with that. Back to Psalm 78. God did this with Israel. Oh, listen to this. This is good because I put myself in these verses. Verse 38, but he, again, remember Psalm 78 is all about Israel's not trusting in God, not doing the right thing, but he being compassionate. God being compassionate, even with these disobedient, rebellious, grumbling kids. He says, you're mine. I'm not going to get rid of you. I'll discipline you and there'll be consequences, but you're still mine. But he, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And often he restrained his anger and did not arouse all his wrath. Thus he remembered they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. David in Psalm 103 put it this way. Just as a father, verse 13, has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he himself knows our frame, and he is mindful that we are but dust. Compassionate father sees you, understands your situation, and acts accordingly. Now, yes, there will be times you'll have to discipline. There will be times he'll have to ground you. If you're young enough, there will be times where he won't spare the rod. But he still understands who you are and all this that's going on, and he's compassionate to deal with you. And you think about how compassionate God's been with you. And I know he's been compassionate with us because we're still here. Otherwise, you know, Psalm 78 says he restrains his anger. If he wasn't compassionate, we'd be gone. We'd be done. We wouldn't be here anymore. Compassion. Perfect father is marked by faithfulness, consistency, compassion, and persistent mercy and love. Kind of all flows together, doesn't it? Persistent mercy and love. And that's how I read verse 2. I've read verse 2 of the hymn over and over, and I look at it this way. Maybe Chisholm had a different idea, maybe you did, but this is how I look at it. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest. In the summer, in the winter, in the springtime, in the harvest, the whole year. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join in all nature to manifold witness to thy great faithfulness. We've talked about mercy and love. You're persistent in the summer, in the winter, in the fall, in good times, in bad times. Your mercy and love is there for us. Ephesians chapter 2. And, you know, there's so many. Like I said, go home, read this psalm, this hymn, and then just think in your mind all the verses that go here. It's absolutely fascinating. I wish we could do this afternoon. Come on over. You know, and we just get our pens out and, man, this would be great. But I just did Ephesians chapter 2 when I thought of mercy. Because remember, this starts, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And among them, you too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even in the rest. But God, being rich in mercy. Mercy, you know, the Greek word mercy, eleos, has the idea of mercy, kindness, and goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to help them. Mercy and compassion not only sees the need, but helps. Again, I challenge you. Go home and think about all the ways your Heavenly Father has looked at you with mercy when you deserve death, and all the things He has done to help you. So many times in my life, I get through something and I realize I didn't do that really. Yeah, I was me. I walked and I talked and you know, when I had my treatment there in Sonora, I had to walk in, lay on the table, and not move. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think, how did I do that? The answer is, God did it. Because I couldn't do that on my own. God is compassionate, and He helps in so many ways. You can just think about how He does that for you. But Paul says, God being rich in mercy, even when we were such rebellious sinners, walking according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, because of His great love, which He loved us. Chisholm said, God's compassion never fails. In summer, winter, moonshine, and harvest, He is compassionate and loves. You say, how did God love? He died for us. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. His mercy and love so often protects us. When He sees us in a situation and we need help, He helps us, doesn't He? It's amazing. Again, how are we still here? There's been so many times, honestly, especially driving a Volkswagen where I'd done something stupid and oh, thank you, Lord, you saved me again. But I remember this story when I was about a knee high to a grasshopper, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever. I was driving with my dad. I remember where it was. We were on Randolph Boulevard, Fort Big Street. And I was sitting in the front seat with Dad before they had seatbelts. And somehow we went around a corner, and my door opened, and I started to slide out of the car. I'll never forget this. My dad reached out and grabbed me by the rear of my britches and pulled me back in. I'll never forget this. Think about how many times God has been consistent, faithful, compassionate, and persistence in mercy and love where He has grabbed us and pulled us back. Fathers, something to work on. Mark number 5 is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Pardon for sin, Chisholm writes. In a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Well, we're getting ahead of myself. Pardoned for sin in a peace that endureth. What is it that gets in the way of relationship? Sin. Isaiah 59:2 says that your sin has made a separation between you and your God. I mean, there was a great illustration that I like, is that here's me and here's God and here's my sin, and when it's in the middle, I mean, you can't get together. Same thing is true in the human realm. My dad never disowned me, but there were times where we really weren't together because of what I had done. But, you know, after you go and you say, I'm sorry, and, you know, I know people boo-hoo, I'm sorry, but if you really mean I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I mean, it's great. Dad, I'm wrong. Forgive me. Maybe after I got my spanking, but anyway, forgive me. And you know what happens when he forgives? He gets rid of this. And now, oh man, we're happy campers. You know, I was very happy, happy camper. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself. God forgives. We know he forgives us. Psalm 104:103 again. Psalm 103. Dear beloved, write this one down if you don't know Psalm 103. So many good things. But listen to this. Verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If he did, we'd be dead. For as high, if my dad did, he'd let me fly out of the car. Would not have been pretty. For as high as the heavens are above the earth. Let me ask you, how high is all that out there above you? We know it takes a long time to get to the moon. Takes a longer time to get to Mars. Takes a longer time to get to Pluto or whatever else is out there. So as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who forgive him, whether for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west. In my mind, that's infinite. They never meet. So far has he removed our transgressions from us, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We need to forgive, dads. No kid's going to be perfect. You know, it's easy to hold a grudge. It's much harder to forgive sometimes, but here's the verse I always remember when people tell me, well, this is what happened, I can't forgive. All right, I get it. Yeah, I get it. There's people I've had a hard time forgiving. Then I remember this verse, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. Really? Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. I don't see any loopholes there. I don't see anything too big there. Because again, think of what God has forgiven us, so we are to forgive. And when you think of a father forgiving, one of the great examples is the father of the prodigal son. You remember that in Luke 15, in the story that Jesus told, the man had two sons. The younger son was the whippersnapper, and he says, Dad, I wish you were dead so I can have my money. Because you don't get your inheritance till the father dies. Broke the father's heart. What a slap in the face, especially in this culture. But the dad said, okay, I'll give you your money. And remember, the son went out and he wasted it, and he lived high on the hog until he ran out of money. And now he's feeding pigs and doing whatever he can. And one day he's there starving to death. Verse 16, he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, but no one was giving him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough to more than enough bread? I'm dying here of hunger. I know what I'll do. I'll get up and go to my father. And I'll say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight.'" That's what you do when you've offended someone. You just go and tell them, "I was wrong. I sinned against you." David, Psalm 51, verse 3 or 4, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." So I go back and I just say, "Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men." He says, "Okay, that's a good speech. Maybe Dad will listen." So he got up, came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Why? We saw him a long way out. Every day he was waiting for this son to come back. He just stuck, you know, he had his little, I don't know what he had, but he had his little table, had his coffee and his donuts there, and he just, "This is where I hang out, waiting." And when he saw him come back, his heart leaped for joy, and he ran and embraced his son. And his son said to him, verse 21, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father interrupted him and says, "That's enough. I forgive you," inferred. "Quickly, bring out the best robe," and all of that. You know the story. The father forgave. Look at men. No matter what they do to us, even if they don't come back and say, "I've sinned against father in your," don't hold a grudge. Pray. You can bet this father was praying like crazy for the prodigal son. God had to let the son get low enough for him to come to his senses and come back to the father, and sometimes that is what's needed. So men, may we follow that example. The perfect father, which is our heavenly father, is marked by faithfulness, consistency, compassion, persistence, forgiveness, and companionship. Oh, I love this one. Companionship. Verse 3, "Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine and 10,000 besides." Companionship. A relationship that says, "Oh, cheers my heart. Cheers my heart." I think of David in Psalm 16, where he said this, Psalm 16. "You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." I was lucky, very lucky, because I enjoyed being with my father, and thank God he enjoyed being with me. You know, you got your rough passage. I remember especially once I got out of high school and once I grew up, it was even better. All the way to the end of his life. We had a great time together. And so I know this. In your presence is fullness of joy. I enjoyed hanging out with my dad. You know, talking to this, watching TV. He used to like to watch some of these crazy guys on TV, evangelists. I don't know why. But I remember once we were sitting there, and he says, "You know, I remember this preacher." He wasn't on the TV at that point, but he said, "Okay, if you want to be healed, come put your hand on the TV." And he said, "I think J. Vernon McGee said once, you know, if you really want a shock, put your hand in the TV." So we laughed at that, and Dad and I, you know, we would be in the backyard, and we'd barbecue, you know, our Hebrew National hot dogs, awesome, and then take the grill off, and then we'd eat peanuts and crack the shells and put them on the fire. Why, I don't know. But, you know, that was kind of cool. But we enjoyed together in talking. And so our Heavenly Father, His presence cheers us. Number two, His presence guides us. Psalm 23:3, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." And how does God lead us? According to His Word. Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's why Ephesians 6 says, Father, you bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You have to teach them what God has said. We've all failed at that. But I hope, and I think my kids know, that, you know, we believe the Bible. Should believe it more, should teach it more, teach it to your kids. And may they know the rest of this song. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today. Oh my goodness, because my dad is there, and because my heavenly Father is there, I have confidence. And what I love to do when I really get in a bind where it's just beyond me, you know, I remember Psalm 121 verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I say, God, if you made the heavens and the earth, you can take care of this, that, or the other thing that I'm going through or about to go through. David, in the same psalm of Psalm 16, where he said, you're in your presence is fullness of joy, he said, verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Again, you think of the Apostle Peter, when he was with Jesus, he did the miraculous. You know, he helped pass out the food, feeding 5,000 men. He walked on water. And even when he was with Jesus in the garden, one of our favorites is he took a sword and was going to start to hack through the Roman army. And since he's a fisherman, all that he did was cut off the poor guy's ear. But I have no fear. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. The hope is, Psalm 23, I will live in the present, I will dwell in your house forever. Verse 10 of Psalm 16, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. I know, because I trust God's faithfulness, his consistency, and all of that, that since I believed in the Lord Jesus, I will be with him when I leave this earth. Hope. That's the hope. You know, dads, if we don't give our kids hope, you know, yeah, they may have made a mistake, but you don't call them blockheads over and over and over and over. You know, there's too many times you've seen it on TV or know it in real life where my dad never said anything. I was just trying to please my dad, just once to have my dad say, well done, and hope for tomorrow. I'll be there for you, son. You know, till I leave this earth, I'll be there for you. Mark number 7 is abundance. New mercies I see. New mercies I see. That's the chorus. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I'm sure you've already figured this out, but Chisholm took this all from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19, where Jeremiah says, remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness, surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me, and I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope, because I recall you, Lord. I have hope because you as my heavenly Father are faithful and persistent and good. As soon as I find that page, I could tell you the rest of them. Well, that's not even it. My goodness, what did I do with that? Anyway, we're on the last page, so maybe that's amazing. Okay, faithful and good. Faithful. Hope for tomorrow. Abundance of grows. Provision, all that I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithful. At this Father's Day, you think about your dad, and hopefully some of that was in there. Hopefully there was some degree of faithfulness, consistency, compassion, persistence, forgiveness, companionship, abundance, and provision. Hopefully some of that was there. But if not, think about God in all of that is there. God is faithful. God is consistent. God is compassionate. God is persistent. God is forgiving. God is, you know, loves our fellowship. That's why he made us. God is abundant. It grows. It grows. And all that my hand has needed, all that I need, he has provided. Question is he your Heavenly Father? You know, as we get to this point, you think, have I believed in the Lord? Do I really believe in the Lord? Am I trusting in him? Is he my Heavenly Father? If he is, thank him. Thank him, oh Lord. Thank you. In spite of me, I'm like Israel. I just rebel and grumble. I'm just a mess. And if your father is still alive, thank him. This may be the day for reconciliation. Thank him. Lastly, fathers, we can't do this on our own. We need the help of God. I like the benediction at the end of Hebrews. Verse 20. Now the Lord of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you. Fathers, may the God who brought up Jesus from the dead equip every father in every good thing to do his will, to do the Father's will. That is to be a faithful father, a consistent father, a compassionate father, a persistent, forgiving, loving fellowship, abundant and providing father. If God that is working in us, that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever and ever. You know that all comes through the Holy Spirit. You read the book of Ephesians when you go home. Or Zechariah 4:6, as he's rebuilding the temple. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We will do this. We will do this. Lastly, dads, I think the most important thing we can do for our kids is not to focus on our kids. It's not to focus on being faithful and consistent and compassionate and persistent and forgiving in all of that with our kids. Yeah, we work on that, but that's not the focus. The focus is our relationship to Heavenly Father. Walk with God and show your kids what that looks like. And you will be marked by this as well. In Deuteronomy, that's over and over reiterated. In fact, let me end with Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, Moses is saying. When the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days of their lives on the earth. That's the most important thing for you, Dad, for me, for anybody, is to listen to God, to fear him, and to walk with him. And that they may teach their children. Got opportunities to teach them, but they need to watch you. They need to watch you. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, I thank you for all that you do for us, and it's even beyond what we have time this morning to quickly look at. But we give it to you. It's all in your word. And I pray that we just don't leave it here, but that we come in. We revisit this often, thinking about you as our Heavenly Father. Great is your faithfulness. So, Lord, we glorify you. And I pray that you're our Heavenly Father. And as fathers, Lord, help us be more like you as we walk with you and surrender to the Holy Spirit. And then just let our kids watch. Think about those things, and mobile's over, and then we'll end with a song. know that sounds kind of trite, but we appreciate you and we love you and we thank you for our earthly fathers. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.